It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Pass time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5, touchdown, Giants, 97 yards.
Now here's your host, John Schmelk.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513. That's your telephone number. Also on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. Good morning, everybody. You're listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live, our daily Giants call-in talk radio show at 9:30 every weekday morning. Thank you for joining us. Obviously, we've had a lot of talk about free agency, but now we're going to start to look ahead to the draft. We're going to try to get guys on that have covered a lot of these draft prospects around the country, and I thought it was only fitting that we start with one of the players that have been linked to the Giants and really fills the one big gaping hole that is on the roster, and that is the tight end position. And the number one tight end in this draft is Eric Ebron from the University of North Carolina. We've watched highlights of him. We've seen people write about him. But now we're going to talk to one of the guys that have seen him play probably as much, if not more, than anybody, and that is Andrew Carter. He covers North Carolina Athletics for NewsObserver.com and the Charlotte Observer down there in North Carolina. Andrew, good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing great, John. Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming on, Andrew. I appreciate it. You were at Eric Ebron's Pro Day a couple days ago. I've seen some small comments on Twitter. He had a little bit of the dropsies. What did you see?
Yeah, he had a little bit of the dropsies, as he said, but really nothing much to be concerned about. I mean, he's a guy, the first thing that comes to mind with him is he's just a freak athlete. I mean, he's 6'4", about 250 pounds. He runs like a wide receiver might run, especially all done up in pads. I mean, he's a really fast, powerful guy. He's a guy who can go over the middle and make any kind of catch. And yeah, his pro day might not have gone as well as he would have hoped, but you know, I don't think necessarily that was too huge of a concern for him, just given the fact that a lot of people are high on him, and rightly so.
Yeah, obviously, pro days, you know, they are what they are. You know, guys like Blaine Gabbert had fantastic pro days. Guys like Brandon Whedon had fantastic pro days. So, you know, take them with a grain of salt. But I guess my question for you, Andrew, would be, I've seen a couple people write about it, however, even during the season in games, he had some issues with what people call concentration drops, where they're easy catches. Maybe he picks his head up, takes his eye off the ball, looks upfield before he catches it, and he drops the ball. Did you see that as an issue over the course of his North Carolina career, or is that a little overblown?
No, I think that's a fair criticism of him. I mean, when it comes to him, though, you're kind of almost nitpicking his game and finding things to pick out a little bit, just because there's so much to like about him. I mean, his size, his speed, I mean, he's built like a prototypical tight end, like a lot of these guys who have come into the NFL lately and had a lot of success, these super athletic tight ends. I mean, he fits that mold. So with him, I think people really try to, you know, find little things that are wrong. And certainly that's a fair criticism. I mean, sometimes he would have issues making the easy catch. It's almost like he made the spectacular catch almost more often than he made the easy catch sometimes. I don't want to make it sound like he dropped a ton of balls. That's not the case. But there were some issues sometimes where, you know, he would not make a play that you would think would be an easy play for him. I mean, I remember one time they played at Georgia Tech this past year. He made one of the best catches probably in the college football season. He went up, brought down a ball with one hand in the back of the end zone. It was a touchdown, you know, really just a heck of a catch. You know, he makes that play. He had a couple other plays like that throughout the season. And then sometimes, you know, he would just, you know, let a ball bounce off his chest kind of thing. So, you know, it is a fair criticism, but again, I think the pros with him far outweigh the cons. And he's a guy that can really make the spectacular catch sometimes look easy.
Well, let's talk about some of those spectacular plays and some of these pros, and there are a ton of them, like you said. It seems to me, just watching, you know, a couple of the games this year and watching a lot of his video on the internet, that he's willing to go over the middle, extend his arms, catch balls way away from his body, even if that means taking a big hit from a safety or a linebacker. He seems to have no fear over the middle of the field.
No fear about him. And I'm going to miss covering him, too. If you guys get him up there in New York, y'all are going to love him.
Really?
Otherwise. I mean, he's a hilarious guy. He has a lot of confidence. He thinks very highly of himself. He's not afraid to you know, provide bulletin board material and that kind of thing. I'm not sure how his coaches might feel about that. But, yeah, he's really kind of a fearless guy. He has tons of confidence. He doesn't shy away from contact, which, you know, being a 6'4 guy at 250 pounds, I don't know why he would shy away from contact. He's huge. But, yeah, I mean, he doesn't have any fear over the middle. He's not afraid to go over there and create contact and mix it up with guys. And, you know, really, if you're looking for a tight end, obviously he's the number one tight end on the board for a reason. I mean, there's so much to like about the guy. He does have a little bit of the issues with the hands at times. But, you know, in terms of going over the middle, route running, that kind of thing, he's just really precise. And he was a huge part of this offense down here at UNC. They run an up-tempo spread offense. They line him up all over the place. You know, he was split out wide a lot, like a typical wide receiver might be. They line him up sometimes in the backfield. I was thinking this morning, I think they even lined him up at running back at times and handed the ball off to him. I mean,
wow.
He can do pretty much everything you want him to do.
Now, North Carolina runs a pretty pro-style type of offense. Is he pretty familiar with what you would consider the full NFL route tree, you know, the seams, the ins, the outs, everything you would want a tight end to do at the NFL level?
I would think so, yeah. I mean, the offense here is kind of like, you know, it's an up-tempo spread, no-huddle type thing, but, you know, you're seeing more of that, maybe not necessarily the full-blown, you know, non-stop no-huddle that Chip Kelly might run there in Philly, but, you know, you're seeing more of that leak into the NFL now. And he was recruited by Butch Davis, who, of course, you know, did run nothing but a pro-style offense.
Right.
Really, that's what he was recruited to fit into, and he did that his first season at UNC, and then he really seamlessly adapted to what Larry Fedora does, the up-tempo spread, and kind of like I said, I mean, he had a lot of opportunities to do a variety of things in this offense. And he was almost more of a wide receiver, just kind of like a big wide receiver almost in a tight end. That's kind of how Fedora used him. So he did everything they asked him to do. There wasn't a weakness in terms of route running or anything like that. I mean, I think he would fit into any offense at the next level really well.
In terms of his athleticism, is he your classic tight end that's too fast for running backs, too big for safeties, and does he have the outright speed and athleticism to A, stretch the field over the top down the seam, and be explosive with some run after the catch opportunities?
Yeah, I think he does. I mean, one thing that I thought really illustrated his athleticism well was, you know, last year they played on a nationally televised Thursday night game against Miami, a game that UNC really should have won. And obviously, Miami is loaded up with high-level prospects, guys who can run every year.
Right.
And he outran the entire Miami defense for something like an 80-yard touchdown over the middle. And that was all Ebron. He took a short pass. He sprinted away from coverage, picked it upfield, and basically just outran the defense. I thought that really was a play right there that kind of defined him as an athlete, just because, you know, he is a big guy. You can see that. He is a guy that doesn't shy away from contact. You can see that kind of thing on film. But it's something else to see him in person really outrun a very fast defense, and that's what he did that night against Miami. So I thought that was a pretty good picture of what he can do.
Now, you mentioned a couple times they kind of use him as a wide receiver a lot in that spread. I know some people up here are somewhat concerned because Tom Coughlin's penchant for wanting his tight ends to be able to block, that maybe Ebron might not be a good fit up here in New York. When he was asked to block, was he a willing blocker? Was he an effective blocker? How good of a blocker was he? And is he willing to expand that part of his game at the pro level?
Yeah, that's one thing I think that's a really fair question about him. That's kind of an unknown, even about Ebron, just because UNC didn't ask him to do a ton of that. Now, he did do some of it. I mean, when they're calling running plays or plays to the other side of the field, use him as a decoy, he was obviously used as a blocker, and he was a guy who had to play that role. But, you know, this was a guy in college who, you know, really was the focal point of his offense. This is a guy that they wanted the ball in his hands as often as possible. So they were trying to get him open. They were using other guys to, you know, screens for him almost over the middle, get him open, you know, try to deflect coverage off him to get him some space. So he wasn't used a ton as just like a pure blocking tight end. And there's really not a whole lot out there that shows his ability to do that. And so I think that is a fair question. But the flip side of that is, he's a great kid. He was always willing to do whatever UNC asked him to do, no matter what. And he's shown a willingness to do that. And I think he would welcome that opportunity at the next level. I don't think he's the kind of guy who would really be wary of that or complain about it or anything like that. I think he would welcome the opportunity. But naturally, he's the kind of guy that does want the ball in his hands, and he wants to, he wants to go down the field and show his playmaking ability.
I realize this is a speculative question, so bear with me, but it seems as though it's 6'4", 250, he's got long arms, you mentioned the toughness. It seems he has the mindset and the physical traits that you would need to be a blocker at the NFL level.
No, I think he does. I think he does for sure. I will say one thing about him. I mean, he's an interesting guy. I mean, you'll see this if the Giants pick him and you have a chance to be around him. I mean, he's the kind of guy he's just very loose. He has a great sense of humor. And it was almost like sometimes, like the UNC coaching staff would really try to get him fired up and make him mad. They wanted him to be mad. So he's not one of these, I think some guys in the NFL might be the ultra-competitive, almost psychopath type mentality. And that's not exactly Ebron. I mean, he is a competitive guy, don't get me wrong. But he does have this easygoing streak about him that I think the coaches almost try to beat out of him a little bit. I think he does have that mentality in him to be a blocker and mix it up physically. But I think that's something the coaching staff will have to work to bring out of him wherever he goes, if that's what they want him to do.
You've mentioned his personality a couple times. It seems as though you're pretty positive he'd be able to handle the media environment, all the attention and everything like that, that playing for the Giants.
He loves the media. He loves the media. He loves talking with reporters. And, he loves the back and forth and the interaction, that kind of thing. At least he did down here with us. I'm not sure. Obviously, it's a different deal in New York City,
right?
With the throng and the crush and all that kind of thing of people. But, with us down here, he loved the media. So I don't think that'd be an issue. He loves the cameras and loves the microphones and loves providing a good soundbite. So I think he'd be all about that up there.
Now, Andrew, you've obviously covered college football, so I just want to kind of get your opinion at 12. If you think, Eric Ebron would be a good value in that spot, does he have the talent and the upside and the, right away explosive ability to be a starter in the league, to be a guy that would be a good, worthy selection at number 12? Or do you think there'll be other guys that might be available at that spot that you think could be a more valuable commodity?
Yeah, I mean, certainly I'm far from a draft expert,
right?
But if a team is in desperate need of a tight end, I mean, he's the prototypical guy, like I said, that you would want. I mean, he's the kind of guy that I think could make an immediate impact. Physically, he looks a lot like some of these other super athletic tight ends who've had success in the NFL recently. So I think he would be almost as sure of a thing as you're going to find at that spot, just because he has the complete physical tools. He's proven his ability to make plays. He has had some issues catching the ball here and there, but that's, I think that's something that can be worked through. I think he's as talented as anybody. I mean, his upside, I think, is limitless, and I think he's going to be a really, really good pro if he has the right opportunity and he's in the right offense.
Andrew Carter, newsobserver.com, also writes for the Charlotte Observer. We appreciate the time, Andrew. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you down the road. Thanks so much for the time.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem, Andrew. Anytime. Thanks for joining us and giving us a couple minutes. Give us some good insight on Eric Ebron, the tight end from North Carolina that, could go in the top 15 of this draft. 201-939-4513. That's your phone number. I think Andrew gave us a little bit of insight into Eric Ebron that, he can, what he can do, what he needs to work on. And really, I think the scouting report he gave us is kind of the one that we've been working off of right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. I think we learned a little bit more about his personality. How he'll fit in, the type of guy that he is. For someone like me that covers a team, seems like he'd be a lot of fun. Almost a somewhat less quirky Martellus Bennett, which wouldn't be a bad thing. But I think it'd be an exciting addition for the Giants if they decide to go in that direction in the first round of the NFL draft. You can talk about that and everything else you want to discuss right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live at 201-939-4513. Let's start with the guy who's been holding the longest, and that is David up in the Bronx. David, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, John. Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, David. What's up?
Oh, I want to first give a shout-out to P. Dottie Lynn Shakesinsteve. I really like your opinions.
They're all good guys, no question.
Yes, indeed. And, of course, you. You're the best also.
Well, I appreciate it.
But now getting to the thing with the draft.
Yeah.
I'm still sold on Mike Evans. I mean, that speed, that height, he's an aggressive receiver. I listened to Mr. Andrew Carter this morning, and I like what he's saying with Eric Ebron, but the thing that concerns me, John, is that he hasn't blocked. And we got to have blocking out of our tight end position. Got to have it.
It's a worry. I mean, look, we don't know what Ben McAdoo's offense is going to be, but, you know, if they want to employ a power running game, which seems to be the indication from the coaching staff, you are going to need your tight end to block a little bit. And obviously they haven't asked Ebron to do it. Whether or not you can train him to do it, given his size, speed, and strength, is a question that I think nobody has the answer to. And I think whether or not the Giants believe they can make him into a good blocker will determine whether or not he could be their potential pick at number 12.
Right. Now, let's say the draft was coming through, and Mike Evans is gone, and Eric Ebron is gone also.
Okay. Which, by the way, is a possibility. There's a chance both those guys go in the top 11.
Right. But I keep on looking at Aaron Donald. This guy is a special talent. And I also remember about somebody that didn't have as much talent as Aaron Donald that was effective for the Giants, Jim Burt. Jim Burt was no bigger than around about 6'1".
Yeah.
264, come out of college. The thing about it with Aaron Donald is how does he stack up at the point of attack? If he can stack up at the point of attack like a Jim Burt, hey, he's worth the pick at number one.
Hey, look, Donald, I'll say this. David, excuse me, I'm sorry. If Aaron Donald is available at 12, I think he is a talented enough player to warrant selecting him in that spot. I think as a three-technique defensive tackle that can rush the passer, and as you said, if he can stand up against the run the way teams think that he can, I think he is a good enough and talented enough player to pick at number 12. I still worry a little bit about the needs on offense that you're leaving unaddressed if you decide to go defense with that first-round pick. But if Ebron and Evans are off the board, I think Terrell Lewan's in the mix. If he's off the board too, I think you're looking at, you know, Zach Martin. You're looking at Aaron Donald. You're looking maybe at Anthony Barr if he managed to slip through. You're looking at C.J. Mosley if he managed to slip through the cracks there. And I think those are the type of guys you'd be looking at number 12.
Okay, one last comment.
Yeah.
By me, I think this is going to be one of the most shocking drafts that we're going to have. In every draft, when you look at it, okay, somebody is a late riser. I think you're going to get two late risers that come up the board that's unexpected, and it's going to throw this whole draft out of whack. I do agree with you, though, that three tackles are probably going to come off the board by 11.
Well, you know, David, I think it'll be interesting to see how, you know, a lot of this is going to depend on what teams think about those three quarterbacks. How many of those quarterbacks are going to go in the top 10? If you have two or even all three go in the top 10, I think there's a pretty good chance either Evans, Ebron, or Lewan will drop to the Giants at 12. But if only, let's say, one, Blake Bortles, for example, goes in the top 12, I think the Giants are going to be right on the cusp there if one of those three guys is going to be left on the board.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you for the privilege of being on the show, and I'll just sit back and listen now.
Well, thanks for calling up, David. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
201-939-4513. I don't think we've gotten David from the Bronx. I think he's a first-time caller. Very good call, David. I appreciate it. Marco in Connecticut. He's also been holding since the start of that interview. Marco, what's going on, bud?
Hey, John. Great to be with you today.
Hey, thanks for calling in, Marco. What do you got?
First off, John, that was an awesome interview with the reporter from North Carolina. He definitely gave us a better look, more of a detailed look at Ebron. And, you know, when he mentioned, I know a couple of times it sounded like, you know, his loose demeanor could be misconstrued for maybe a lack of competitiveness.
Right.
Maybe it's just me. I'm not really worried about that. I heard, maybe you'll get to this later, Coach Coughlin was interviewed yesterday at the Combine, or not the Combine, the owners meeting. And when he's talking about the offense and he's talking about, you know, the new looks for the Giants this year, he just keeps showing me what a change mentality. Everyone's got this fixed thing on Tom that Tom can't adapt, and there's one type of player that Tom likes. I think he'll be fine with this kind of player. And you're right, though. He sounded like a little Martellus Bennett like to me.
Yeah, you know what? I wouldn't be that worried about it either. Do you know why? You had, you know, Linval Joseph was a pretty laid back guy. Justin Tuck's a laid back guy. Martellus Bennett was a really laid-back guy. Akeem Nix is a laid-back guy. Heck, Victor Cruz is a really laid-back guy. I mean, these are all guys that, you know, you talk to them. They're the nicest guys in the world. You love them to death. Even John Beeson off the field is a very, you know, quiet, laid-back, you know, cool guy to talk to. As long as they're ready to play on game day, that's all that matters.
Sure, I agree. But the one thing, too, is, and I know you'll agree with this, the mental mistakes. If he comes in and he's got that loose demeanor, but he's also making mistakes in the classroom and on the field, that's the part that Coach Coughlin's not going to stand for. Here's what I wanted to get to. I listen every day, by the way. My brother listens as well. We're huge fans, but I've never really called in. Just regarding free agency, and this comes into the draft.
Sure.
I like that we spent our big pay went to DRC on the corner, because I felt in free agency it made sense to attack that position rather than wait until number 12 to take a corner because of the young talent that was available in free agency.
Well, yeah.
Now, unless it's late and barring an epic fall, I think we're good to go, unless Justin Gilbert and Darquez Dennard end up being there in the second round and we're forced to pick them. That's not going to happen, though.
No.
Here's what I want to get your opinion on.
Sure.
It's been well demonstrated from Baltimore, Seattle, San Fran that you build teams and sustain success through the draft. But this offseason, Jerry just went on a spending spree. And so here's what I'm thinking. Was the spending this offseason done because of our personnel as Jerry has said a couple times, there's a few ways to skin a cat, and maybe, you know, building through the draft or building through free agency, we don't have an exact formula. We'll do whatever it takes for us to be competitive each and every year. Maybe the higher salary cap helped the Giants do what they've always wanted to do. What's your take on that?
Yeah, Marco, I think there are a lot of different reasons, and I think you hit a couple of them on the head. One, I think a lot of it had to do with the roster, the fact that, frankly, it wasn't very good last year, and they had so many free agents that, you know, were leaving the team, and you had to fill a roster. You can't fill 26 roster spots just in the draft. So part of it was just a numbers game. Another part of it was the fact that a lot of these free agents were in their mid to early late 20s, you know, 26-year-olds, 27-year-olds. You're still getting these guys in the prime of their career, and they could be here for 4, 5, 6 years. And, you know, while they're not a draft pick, they could almost function like a draft pick in being a big part of the fabric of the organization. Number three, I think, you know, there was a little heat, too. I think Jerry Reese, you know, saw how upset ownership was after the season, that this team has to get better. And, you know, this team didn't have the luxury to kind of wait and see. And with Eli Manning still in his prime, you want to try to put a good enough team around him to try to win now. I don't think this means you're not still building to the draft. I think you are. But, you know, and that brings us to the final reason that you brought up. That's the salary cap. For the first time in 2 or 3 years, the Giants actually had a lot of money to spend, so they could use their resources on players in free agency. So I think all those things kind of came together, which is what led to the quote-unquote spending spree in free agency.
Right. Right. Thanks, John. John, one more quick point.
Sure.
The draft. This is so key. I think we have to build our team on sound first-round picks from here on out. And I know you said, I think it was yesterday or the day before, that Reese has been unlucky, and he has. You know, some of these freak injuries that have happened, you know, you can't predict going into it.
But right.
If a team is truly going to be built on second or fifth round picks, because that's what these good teams are built on, we have to hit on our first and second pick here. And, you know, this reporter kind of changed my thinking a little bit. I like Ebron a lot. I just don't know if it's the right pick for us this year. I think Zach Martin is kind of the way to go, because I think everything you're hearing about him, he's just so solid. There's no red flags. Right? So everyone keeps saying, you know, you take Zach Martin, he's a better version of Justin Pugh, who we drafted last year. Well, guess what? Justin Pugh was probably our best offensive player last year.
Might have been.
Yeah. What's wrong with getting another one of those players where we know he's a hit? And you know, and I like that. Everything that guy said about Ebron was awesome. But let's go get the sure bet. Let's go get that lock solid. Put him down on the line. Nothing to worry about. And if this draft is as deep as everyone says it is, then the talent's going to be there. I'm worried too about Ebron now, because I think with these quarterbacks, we don't know where they're going to go. And Luan falling maybe doesn't really help us. It might actually push Ebron more into the top 10.
Yeah,
who knows?
Good point.
He could be on the top 10 on these draft boards all along, and everyone about the drops and, you know, tight end position, he could be rated pretty high on these draft boards, and we don't even know it. So
thanks, Marco. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Thank you.
Hey, have a good one. And look, I think there's a decent chance Ebron's not there at 12. But to me, he is one of the top 12 most talented people in this draft. That's what I'll say. And, yeah, look, there are red flags. And you're not going to have any perfect players. You know, Ebron's a guy that has some drop issues, and he's a guy that they haven't asked to block a whole lot. We've been saying that for a couple weeks now. Now he says that he wants to become a better blocker. He has shown the willingness. As our guest said earlier in the show, that he's always shown the willingness to do whatever the coaching staff has asked of him. The city is not going to be too big for him. He's not going to be wowed by New York. That's a good thing. You know, he's a very good kid. He, you know, he's in the classroom. He learns. Those are all positives. And, you know, one of the things that Tom Coughlin and Jerry Reese have talked about, too, is bringing in the right type of guy into this place, where you want to bring in good people, smart people. And by all accounts, based on what Andrew said, he seems to fit into that type of mold, too, which I think is a good thing. A couple of people on Twitter, big Aaron Donald fans, pointing out they think Aaron Donald can also play defensive end. I know he has the quickness to play defensive end, folks, but it's 6'1". With those short arms against, you know, 6'5", 6'6", offensive tackles, I don't think he'll be able to play defensive end in the NFL level. I just don't think it'll work. 201-939-4513. But again, Marco, if the Giants want to go out there and pick an offensive lineman in the first round that's going to start at guard or tackle, you know, hopefully tackle if he's going to be the 12th pick in the draft, for 7, 8, 9, 10 years, I'm cool with that. Don't have a problem with it. Back to our phones. Q is down in Virginia. Q, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, buddy? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, thanks for calling in, Q. What's up?
Yeah, your last caller kind of stole my thunder.
That's right.
You had me on the Ebron bandwagon for the last couple weeks. But as the draft gets nearer, I'm starting to think, you know, let's not forget what's important, Big Blue Nation. You know, I don't think I'm satisfied with the offensive line just as yet, you know. I think we need to fortify that line a little bit more. You know, we need to protect our two-time Super Bowl MVP. You know, I say we get Luan or Zach Martin with that 12th pick, okay? We could find a playmaker in round two, maybe Austin Lynch in round three. Let's not forget, and I think I'm kind of turned off by the fact that he likes the cameras, you know, he likes to create bulletin board material. You know, Big Blue Nation, we like blue-collar tight ends. Give me a Mark Bavaro, a Howard Cross. That bring their lunch pail to work every day.
Right.
I don't want a diva in New York for the tight end position. You know, we need that on the line. You know, I don't know how many offensive linemen the Giants carry on their roster during the season. What, maybe 9?
Yeah, I would say usually around 8 or 9, usually 8 active and, you know, maybe a 9th or 10th guy in the practice squad.
Yeah, give me 9 of the best guys. Maybe 2 guys that could play center, you know, maybe 3. And the rest of your guys should be able to swing from guard to tackle. You know, in case somebody go down week 3, week 4, you know, it's inevitable. It's going to happen. I want to be able to plug the next guy in, and we don't miss a beat. We don't have to change the game plan. Give me the best 9 guys on the roster. Let's give Eli some time. Give Eli about 4 or 5 seconds in the pocket. He's just as good as any quarterback in the league. This last year, it was times he ain't even couldn't even get 2 seconds in the pocket.
Hey, look,
Q, I
will say this. If the Giants pick an offensive lineman in the first round, and Eli does have a lot more time, and then in the second round, let's just say, for example, they go out there and they bring in, you know, a good, solid blocking tight end that can also catch the ball a little bit, let's say like the Troy Niklas kid out of Notre Dame. If they go out and do that, the Giants will be a much better team this year offensively than they were last year. However, let me add a little bit of a caveat there. That means you're going to war next year with Eli Manning's primary weapons being a rookie at tight end that is more of a blocker than he is a playmaker, Reuben Randle, Jarrell Jernigan, and Victor Cruz as your number 1 wide receiver. And I worry that I'm not sure those weapons give your quarterback enough firepower to be the player he can be, even if he has all the extra protection you're talking about. I think you're short playmakers a little bit there. I really do. And in this league these days, you know this, Q. You need guys that can not only, you know, play well, you need guys that can go above the X's and O's and make that big play. Maybe Eli underthrows the receiver, but the receiver comes back, jumps over the corner to get the ball. The receiver catches a 7-yard slant. Instead of going down right away, he makes 3 or 4 people miss, goes 50, 60 yards. The only guy in this roster that can do that right now is Victor Cruz. There is nobody else. And that, to me, is something you have to worry about.
Yeah, I mean, it's a concern, but we ain't going to be able to hit everything all at one time. You know?
Right.
And I know I'm going to sound crazy for this, but I still got a feeling that the JPP of tight ends might step up this year, you know. I don't know. A lot of people gave up on Adrian Robinson. I haven't just yet, you know. He realizes this is his last chance to make the team. What I say, you know, we draft the kid, okay, Adrian Robinson, Donald, and maybe we sign a veteran. Get 4 tight ends in camp, let them compete. Best 2 guys win. Okay, they say the playmakers is deep in this year's draft. We don't know what McAdoo is going to bring to the table. You know, he'll make an adjustments with the playmakers he got, you know. We get us a playmaker with the second round, but I'm all for the offensive line. I'd rather have Eli on his feet than finding that superstar playmaker just as yet. You know, we'll adjust. You know, I got trust in McAdoo and Coughlin there, you know. But I think we need to go O-line. Then maybe with the middle rounds, we maybe could find John Beeson's replacement, you know, get us a DN. But I think we need to go O-line, Big Blue Nation.
All right, Q.
Let's not. Okay, thanks.
Hey, I appreciate the call, man. Great stuff. And thanks for calling in. Call back anytime, bud. Excellent job out of Q. Good to have the first-time callers today. All top quality. I feel like that's, you know, I always worry sometimes when more and more people start listening, and our numbers are going up, by the way. Thanks to all you guys out there for tuning in and listening. That the more people you get listening sometimes, the quality of the call goes down, the quality of the conversation goes down, and anything to me, it's going up. I love the fact that we have a lot of really knowledgeable Giant fans calling into the show and giving some good opinions. You know, we're not always going to agree, folks, but, you know, good information, good knowledge, and, you know, good opinion to back up what you're saying, that's all you need, and I think our callers have that in spades. And I'll say it again, if you want to go offensive line the first round, I get it. I just worry about the weapons. Even going back to 2007, you had Burris and you had Toomer. There is no Toomer on this team right now, and you could argue that Cruz isn't as good as Burris was in his prime here. You could also argue that Cruz is better, depending on what numbers you want to look at, but that's what I'm saying. I'm just worried a little bit about having a lack of weapons. And you're not going to add a big-time weapon in free agency at this point. That ship has sailed. You spent your money on defense. That's why I really think you got to focus on offense in this draft. I really do. And one other note, too. You know, the draft's later this year. It's about 2 weeks later than it usually is, rather than the 4th week in April. It is now the 2nd weekend of May. So it's about 2 weeks later than it usually is. Just something to note. It is still March. We got about 6.5 weeks, almost 7, until the draft happens. Do you know how much happens in that 6 to 7 week period with guys moving up draft boards, guys moving down draft boards? Hell, at this point last year, I think DeMondre Moore was still a first-round pick on most mock drafts. First round. They went the third round. So there's still a lot of movement here, folks. There could be guys that in 3 or 4 or 5 weeks that'll be talking about as a top 15 pick that right now we think might be a guy that goes in the top part of the second round. That's how much guys move in the last 6 or 7 weeks of this process. And, you know, scouts get back to their offices. They talk with their general manager. They talk with their director of college scoutings. And they go out and they make their boards. And guys move up and down. So we're going to see a lot of things change still in the next 6 or 7 weeks, which I know, it's not logical. It doesn't make any sense. It's not like these players have changed. The pro days are over. The combine's over. The season's over. There's no really new information here. But trust me, guys move. You know, a lot of times what happens is that these front offices make decisions on players, but it doesn't get leaked out to the media until 3 or 4 weeks before the draft. Throw in the fact, by the way, that front office people lie. And all you're going to have a month before the draft is misinformation. This team likes this guy. This team likes that guy. They try to confuse other teams in the draft about trading up, trading down. They try to target those players. So believe nothing. Trust no one. Except what you hear right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. No, trust me. Don't believe me either. 201-939-4513. Jeff's in Rhode Island. Jeff, what's going on, pal?
Hey, you can trust me, buddy.
Nah, I know that, Jeff. What's up?
I read some of Coach Coughlin's comments yesterday on the board from the owners' meetings, and seems as if he's adamant to get back to the power running game again and having big guys that can move other guys off the line of scrimmage, blow them off the line of scrimmage, et cetera, et cetera. After listening to your guest yesterday from Pete Pro Football Focus, he wasn't really high on Walton, and I believe he said that this guy Jerry the God is a lousy run blocker.
Correct.
You know, he seemed to think they are both really big question marks, so I don't know. Can you square that for me somehow?
I can. They seem to be diametrically opposed. I think Jerry is a guy they brought in. You know, he has veteran experience. He's a guy that's been in the league for a while. And just in case Chris Knee can't come back from this injury, they want a veteran there that can give them some backup behind, you know, the Mosleys and the Brewers and guys like that. And I think Jerry was probably the most cost-effective guy in the market, even though he's not quite as good of a run blocker as you might like. That's how I see it, Jeff. Maybe they see something that I don't, and Pro Football Focus doesn't. I can't speak to that, but that's how I look at it.
Yeah, well, it seems we still have work to do with the offensive line, and I'm sure that'll be addressed in the draft because it seems that way to me anyway. So we'll see how it shakes out.
All right, Jeff, appreciate it.
Have a good day, buddy.
All right.
Yep.
Be good. I got yelled at yesterday on Twitter for not reading enough Twitter comments, so I'm going to go through some Twitter comments here before we get back to your calls at 201-939-4513. We're getting the offensive line defense slash playmaker debate going on at hashtag Giants chat. Ollie Jackson, I'll say it again. Why do we need O-line? We need playmakers to help Cruz, Ebron. To help Cruz, Ebron's the answer. We have a need for speed. J-Rock NYG, Stephon Tuitt at defensive tackle in the third round from Notre Dame. And if we can get Donald, he'd be very, very happy with that. I think that's certainly an option you could take a look at. I'm not sure Tuitt's going to be there in the third round, though. And some people consider him more of a defensive end as well. Mr. Mack, I was high on Ebron, but the more tape I watch, the more I see bust potential. See, I don't think Ebron will be a bust. You know, I think at worst he'll be, you know, a guy that he's mostly as a receiver and he's not much of a blocker. But trust me, this guy as a pass catcher in the NFL is going to be a player. There's no bust potential with him as a receiver. Trust me, zero. There's just not. At Brick Shooter 973, I think we can compete with the team we have now, but an extra playmaker on offense would put us where we need to be. Anthony in Phoenix still lobbying for Terrell Lewan in round one, and Troy Niklas, the tight end out of Notre Dame, in round two. Let's see, what else do we got here? Brick's jurors again. I like Mike Evans or Kelvin Benjamin for options of receiver because of their size. One's a tight end around two or three. So that's some of the things going up on hashtag Giants Chat. You can join the conversation there. It happens all day long. 201-939-4513. Roldy's in Bayshore. I know Roldy's been trying to get through for a few days, and he finally has. What's going on, bud?
Good morning, John. Yeah, man, it's been a while. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Roldy. How about yourself?
Good, good. I know. I just wanted to, talk about Mike Evans. I know everybody's, in love with the guy. I know he's a big, wide receiver. Granted, he is an athletic receiver, but the guy, he's not a good route runner. You know what I mean? And yesterday when you was on air, you kind of sold my thunder, and that's what I've been saying on Twitter for the longest, that the reason why he's been making those plays is because Manziel is a mobile quarterback. He's running out of the pocket, so at the times it allows Mike Evans to get open. Eli Manning is not a mobile quarterback. So if Mike Evans is not a good route runner, so we're going to draft a guy that's going to have to learn how to be a better route runner and try to get open. To me, it just doesn't make sense. So I know a lot of fans love Mike Evans, but don't let the size fool you. The guy, he hasn't played in the pro style offense, and I don't think the NFL would really work with Mike Evans. Maybe not for right now. Maybe later on. But right now, we need automatic guys that's going to jump in and be right away a playmaker. That's why right now. At first, I wanted Justin Gilbert, but obviously we signed DRC, so obviously the cornerback in the first round is not going to be the answer. So that's why I like, Ebron.
Well, Roldy, one thing I'll tell you, I will make sure I get somebody that covered Mike Evans down at Texas A&M on the air at some point next week, and we'll try to get a type of inside look on him that we got on Ebron today.
Please
from
do.
Andrew Carter.
Please do. And another note, too, I know everybody's been saying, what are you talking about on Twitter? Another note. Mike Evans is more of a slot guy, even though he's a big receiver. It doesn't seem like it, but he's more of a slot guy. And how many slot guys do the Giants have?
I'm not sure I would consider Mike Evans a slot guy, Roldy. I mean, he's a guy that'll use his size in the sideline to catch balls down the field. I think you're referencing more like the Jason Avant type of slot guy, the bigger possession type of receiver.
Right.
Now I get why you would make that comparison, but to me, mm-hmm. Evans is more of a Vincent Jackson type of outside receiver. He doesn't have the speed that Vincent Jackson does, but he's that type of outside receiver to me.
Right. But John, would you want to draft a guy that's not a good route runner, and especially in the first round draft pick, 12th pick, it's going to have to be a project that's never played in a pro style offense, and automatically put him in, draft him in the first round, 12th pick, and put him in the NFL game? I mean, that's why I would rather, go with Ebron. I feel like he's already, he's a big physical guy. I think he's ready to play in the NFL, NFL level. And far as, the offensive lineman, I just don't see the Giants for the second year in a row, first round, let alone the 12th pick, picking up off an offensive lineman in the first round. I just can't see it. I mean, if they take a tackle, all right, they already got Will Beatty there. Granted, yes, he's coming off an injury. They got Justin Pugh. People saying they could move him inside, which I wouldn't want them, Pugh moving inside. I would rather keep him on the right tackle. You already got Schwartz. You got Jerry. You got Walton. So you're going to draft an offensive tackle, and then those spots are already taken. What, you're going to put him on the sideline and just, let those guys that you sign in free agency play? To me, I just don't see, the Giants going second year in a row going for an offensive lineman in the first round. I would rather maybe the third round, later on. And I would rather, go for a defensive, end in the second round. But I would rather have Ebron in the first round.
Thanks
for taking my call. I'm glad for finally getting through. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, bud. Good to hear from Roldy. 201-939-4513. And I love the honest debate. We have a Aaron Donald faction. We have a Mike Evans faction. We have an Eric Ebron faction. And then we have the Paul Dottino faction, which is Zach Martin. Oh, and then we have the Anthony and Phoenix Terrell Lewan faction too. That has a bunch of people behind them. So I think those are really the four options we seem to be leaning heavily on at this point. But again, who knows? In the next 6-7 weeks, other guys might pop up on some of these mock drafts. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Roy down in South Carolina. Roy, hopefully you have a better phone connection than you had yesterday. What's going on, pal?
Good morning. Actually, I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, Roy, sounds good. I had a Roy on yesterday. I thought that was you. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
Yep. Hey, listen, I got to tell you that, I'm a fan, but you guys are you have schooled me. I mean, Len and Mo and Shakes, I mean, all y'all have schooled me because, being a fan with three small kids, I don't get to watch everything as much as I want to and, keep on top of the team. But I do love the Giants. I remember in 1970, the first time I experienced a Giants football was my dad telling me about Fran Tarkington.
Nice. Very good.
And then I pulled away from the Giants, but when I moved back to Manhattan, Phil Simms was my quarterback, and I started to bleed blue again.
Nice. Very good. So, thank you
all for teaching me. Listen, I got a question. You know, I remember, our team has always been a team that can eat the clock. And that came from just grinding that ball down and just eating up the clock with power runners. And so my question for you is the upcoming draft and who we have now, who do you think that can be those playmakers where it is second and third or third and third, where we can just pound that defense? And, I noticed that was where – we really got ahead of some of these teams that were giving us a little hard time, but we pounded their defense. We wore them out because we had strong runners. And so, I don't know who you might think of might be an asset for our team coming up in this draft and who we currently have now that could be that kind of, that pounding running where, we don't have to give the ball up when we have 9 minutes. We will just eat the clock and eat them for lunch.
Roy, what I'll say, if you want to go in that direction, I think what your plan should be is in the first round, like a lot of these guys are saying, you can go for your offensive lineman. You can pick the best offensive lineman on the board, whether that's Terrell Lewan or Zach Martin or somebody like that. You can play him at tackle. You move Pugh inside. And then in the second round, if he's there, you pick Troy Niklas out of Notre Dame, a 6'6". 270-pound Mark Bavaro type of tight end. If that's the route you want to go down, I think that's your pick in the first two rounds. And then in the third round, you can pick an interior offensive lineman if you want. You can pick a wide receiver if you want to stretch the field a little bit. Or you can even go to defensive end on that side of the ball to try to win up front of the line of scrimmage on defense. I think if that's the route you want to go, I think that's the direction you would probably take.
Do you think that's a wise way to go, though?
I think there is an argument for it. I mean, I really do. Last year, the Giants' big issue was a poor offensive line. And I get the number one priority this offseason was to get that offensive line better. So if you want to go and add an offensive lineman in the first round, I get the argument. I think you can still get a starter in round two that can play guard or center for you. And you can pick a playmaker in the first round and still get that starting offensive lineman in round two. I would lean more in that direction if I was the guy making the calls. Thank God I'm not, by the way. But I do believe both paths are viable options for the Giants to go down, depending on which players they like the most. Here's what I'll say. You want to set up your draft here, Roy, where you pick the guy that you think is the best player when you're making the pick. You're picking a 12 here. I want a Pro Bowl caliber player year in, year out. If that's an offensive lineman, great. If it's a playmaker, great. I need a guy that can step in, start from day one, and be a difference maker. And that is my number one goal.
You know, I listen to you guys on my smartphone app, and I discovered you guys 3 months ago. And I try to listen every day while I'm working. And one of the things that I do know, and I definitely agree with you and a lot of the guys, is that we're looking for people. We're looking for these guys who are going to be here 5, 6, 7 years. So listen, thanks for taking my call. I love you guys, and go Big Blue.
Well, Roy, thanks for calling in. Welcome to the Big Blue Kickoff Live family. We appreciate it. 201-939-4513. See, we're growing. Growing. Our tendrils are spreading all across North America. From my man Jason Forbes up in Canada, to my man Gabe out in California, to my guy Roy down in South Carolina. We're spreading everywhere. Victor in the Far East. We got our boys over in the UK. We had calls from Taiwan. I think we had an Australia call, too, a few weeks ago. We're everywhere. Everywhere. blowing up. But it's all because of you guys. You know, great calls and great conversation. That's what gets it done. 201-939-4513. Marcus is in Philadelphia. Marcus, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's going on, John? How you doing,
man? I'm doing right, Marcus. What's up?
I've been calling about the last 2 or 3 weeks, and I've been a big fan of Ebron, and I'm still a big fan of Ebron. I actually think that the pro day that he had yesterday, I was listening to the interview a little while ago, and the guy gave a lot of great insight. I called, like I said, I think it was last week, and I talked about JaMychal Finley being used in Green Bay's offense, how he moved all around the field. And I think that Ebron could do the same thing for us. I think his pro day yesterday actually could be a blessing in disguise for us, because some people may look at the drops and say, you know what, let's wait on him, and hopefully he'll fall right into our laps. I just think that the law of averages say that if you're getting a high rate of anything, you're not going to be 100%. And Michael Irvin didn't catch all his passes. Jay Rice didn't catch all his passes. Terrell Owens, early in his career, the knock on him was he dropped a lot of passes. So he was the centerpiece of North Carolina's offense, which was a pro-style offense. He got a high rate of passes thrown his way. So, of course, he's going to drop a couple. I mean, I look at the tape of this guy. This guy's going up. He's not scared. He's not afraid to go across the middle and make catches. He's all over the place. So I think he will be a great pickup for us. I just have a comment, and more or less a question that I want to ask you, and I'll listen to the answer off the air. Let's say that we can get Ebron in the first round. I know I heard, you know, over the last couple of days, people talking about jumping around in the drafts and moving up in the draft. That's something that I wouldn't do. But let's say, hypothetically speaking, we get Ebron, we get our man in the first round. Second round comes, second day. First pick, second pick, third pick, fourth pick goes, and the kid Kelvin Benjamin is still sitting there from Florida State. Do you think it would be wise for the Giants to maybe move up? I think we picked the 11th pick in the second round to move up and get Benjamin. I think that would totally solidify our offense with Benjamin and Victor Cruz, and then you got Ebron across the middle. Do you think that would be a wise pick?
I like what it would do for the playmaking. I'm against trading up because I believe even if you don't trade up to get Benjamin, I think you can get a good receiver in round two when the Giants pick. I think you have a ton of options, and a guy that's good will be left on the board. But let me put it this way. I will be very leery, and I think you can still do it in round three and be okay. I do want one more offensive lineman in this draft in rounds one through three. I want one more guy. I just want another young guy that you can build around there, since, you know, Chris Snee with the injuries, you know, you worry about him. You worry about J.D. Walton at center. I would like one more young building block offensive lineman in this draft, preferably on day one or two. If I can, that can help you for a long time. I would like that. Now, if you want to pick a wide receiver and a defensive end and leave offensive line for round four, I get it, Marcus. But I'd be very worried, and frankly, I'd be very worried, and I'm using those words very carefully here, to go to war next year with only the offensive lineman currently on the roster. I still think there's a lack of depth, and I do think there is some weakness there if you don't add anybody in the first couple days of the draft.
Okay, and that actually leads into just one more question that I have, and this one I'll take off of the air. That is, it's a two-part question. I know that the center, I think it's like Dean LaPuente from Saints is still there, and the kid, the center from the Patriots is still available. I don't know, obviously, I don't know if there's something that people don't like about these guys because they're still out there. So I don't know if the Giants have enough cap room to get one of these guys. And my second thing is, I know June 1st, there's a lot of veteran cuts. So there could be a guy that could be released from a team that we could fit in, maybe a guy maybe 28, 29 years old that we can grab and put into our offensive line as well. Do you think that's possible? And I'll take the answer off the air. Thanks, John, for taking my call, and I look forward to hearing it.
Thanks, Marcus. I appreciate it. Yeah, I do think that's a possibility. And right now, the Giants, if the numbers the media has are correct and what the NFLPA has are correct, you know, they have give or take $4 million at the cap. They'll get five more when Boss comes off the books in the summer. So you're looking around $9 million. You know, the draft picks will take up between three and four, I think, give or take. You know, they still got six to spend. Now, remember, you can carry that over to next year. You want to save some for the regular season and the training camp in case guys get hurt, so you don't want to blow it all. But, yeah, I think it would be possible for a guy to be added later. I'm not sure if the, you know, Ryan Wendells and the Brian De La Puente ships have sailed. I think the Giants still look at it. But they already gave $3 million guaranteed to, you know, J.D. Walton. I'm not sure they're going to add another big money interior offensive lineman. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm sure they'll keep their eyes open. But, you know, I think you will get an addition or a couple additions after the June 1st cuts. I do think that'll happen. Where they'll come, who knows? I think it depends who's in the market, who's good. 201-939-4513. Kashawn is down in Maryland. Kashawn, what's going on?
Hello, John. How are you?
I'm doing great, Kashawn. How about yourself?
Good, good. Okay, before I get started, because I'm about to go off on a tangent,
I'm about to go on a rant.
What is the drop off in offensive linemen in this round? Like, can we get a quality offensive lineman in the third round?
It had to be an interior offensive lineman. I think you can get a guy that projects as a starting guard or center in round three, but there is more risk involved that that player doesn't work out. I can almost guarantee it, Kashawn, if you take a guard or a center in round two, whether it's a David Yankee, somebody like that, a Marcus Martin, I can almost guarantee it these guys are going to be starters for a long time. I think there's a good chance if you pick the right guy in round three, you can get a starter that can be on your team for a while, but there is more risk involved.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
Yes.
Giants fans, I think we're nitpicking a little bit with the Eric Ebron pick. I think we're reaching, we're scratching, we're trying to find everything wrong with them. We're not going to find the perfect player. I don't care who you draft and what position and what round. Every player will have something that they need to work on. Now, for all those fans who are saying that they don't want to draft a wide receiver or a tight end in the first round, don't call Giants Big Blue Kickoff next season when the Giants are only kicking field goals and scoring 12 points a game. Look around the league. You have to score. You have to. You have to score. Now, the only person that's on this roster right now that I think the defenses only care about is Victor Cruz. There's nobody else that really scares me. If I'm a defensive coordinator, I'm game planning for Cruz. There's no one else. So I don't want to hear about, oh, we need to go all offensive linemen. We do need offensive linemen, but I don't think we need to take an offensive lineman that high. Secondly, there are no tight ends in the free agency right now that are worth signing to the roster unless you're going to sign them for a veteran's minimum. Like maybe after June 1st, you might sign a Jermichael Finley or Owen Daniels if they're available.
Right.
As a backup to create some competition, that's fine. And for the caller, Q, who called, I don't want to hear about I don't want to sign Ebron because, you know, he might be a media darling or he might just be too fixated on the cameras. Jeremy Shockey, Antonio Pierce, the great LT, Michael Strahan, Antrell Rowe, they gave us great sound bites for years. And I don't think any of us would deny that they were exceptional Giants. The kid, Eric Ebron, he's homegrown. He's from the New York, New Jersey area. He's a Giants fan. He grew up idolizing Jeremy Shockey. If he gives us a couple of sound bites every week, okay, so what? I think he would want to be in our organization. He would want to play well. Even if you look around the league, 4 out of 5 years, what we have been doing, it has not been working. The offensive plan that we have been doing has not been working. Even when we won the Super Bowl in 2011, Jake Ballard, he had an exceptional year. I remember when we played the Patriots that year, he caught a critical pass to make us win the game down the seam. So Jake Ballard had an amazing year, and it carried us to the Super Bowl. We need a red zone threat. We need someone who can come through the middle. We need someone who can run seam routes. So we need offensive playmakers. You have to score. So I'm for offensive linemen. I'm for defensive end. I'm for wide receiver. But I think we, like you said, John, we need to go very heavy in this draft with offensive playmakers. And I would be pissed if we drafted a lineman in the first round when we have tight ends, if we can get like a Vernon Davis or a Jason Witten to be with us for a few years. So, again, I know everybody has their opinion, and that's great, but please do not call the hotline next year complaining about the lack of scoring when you only have Cruz and these Adrian Donnells and these nobody tight ends, and you're wondering why we can't score.
Thank you, Kashawn.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Great stuff. Good to hear from Kashawn. We get Kashawn once a week. She always brings her A-game. And look, I think that's the argument against it, where, you know, you get that playmaker in the first round that's a difference maker. Again, if Evans or Ebron are even there, if they're not, then I think the calculation changes. And then you can get that road-grinding, you know, interior offensive lineman at guard or center in round two. And, you know, you leave Pugh at tackle, which I think is fine. I don't see why people want to move Pugh inside all the time. He played great at tackle last year, and he's only going to get better in his second season. And that's a position he played in his entire career at college. You're making him learn a whole new spot if you move him inside. So if you can get that playmaker in round one, whether it's an Ebron or Evans or, you know, or heck, maybe the Giants love a Marquise Lee, and if he's there at 12, the Giants are willing to take him. Who knows? That could be a possibility, too. And you can get that, you know, big-time starting caliber guard or center in round two. I think that's a good thing as well. Because I think if you pick Zach Martin, for example, in the first round, is he going to be slightly better than the guy you get in round two? Sure, but I still think both guys will be, you know, quality starters that could be Pro Bowlers. But I don't think you're getting the same type of playmaker in round two that you could possibly get at 12. And that's the way I look at it. At least that's the way I look at it right now. 201-939-4513. Stas is in Washington. Stas, it's early out there. What's going on, man?
What's up, bro? Hey, that girl, Kashawn, I love her. I absolutely love her. If you're still listening, girl, I love you. She's right. She's so right. Like, unless you're getting some road-grading, bell cow, perennial Pro Bowl lineman at the 12th pick, you don't reach. And you're married to Beatty at least for another year. Like, what are you going to do? You're married to him. If it turns out to be a mistake, that's a mistake you're going to have to eat for one more year before you can really do anything about it. I mean, you got to get a tough pick at number 12 that's worth number 12. That guy's got to be someone that you plug in and say, go.
I agree.
Because you don't, and you're not going to take a number 12 pick as a just-in-case pick. Just in case Beatty sucks, let's have this guy in the back. That's number 12. That's number 7 pick. You do that round 7. This is just in case. You don't do that just in case on round 1.
I think that's a fair point.
And then the other thing that I've heard over and over this last week, and it's making me really scratch my head, but did we not get a steal at round 2 with Jonathan Hankins last year?
And I think you can say the same thing. You got a steal when you picked Linval Joseph in the second round back in 2009.
Yeah. And when Barry Cofield left, everyone was screaming how we need to pick up somebody to replace Barry Cofield. No one had belief in Linval Joseph. And now Linval Joseph is leaving, and everyone's saying the same thing. Give Hankins an opportunity to fail. Give him the opportunity to fail first before you replace him. Like, the guy hasn't had a season to prove himself. And people are already trying to get someone to play over him. And then people need to understand what you got to Hankins. Hankins, body type, he's a young Sean Rogers. He's big, he's fast, he's strong. I mean, I think Hankins is going to be better than Linville Joseph in 2 seasons. We won't even know how to say Linville's name anymore in 2 seasons if you leave Hankins burn.
That's
his arms are longer. I mean, the way you saw Sean Rogers be able to push the pound early last season, before his knee gave out, and everyone was calling about how impressed they are with him, that's what you're going to get with Hankins. That's his style of play. And they used to make this guy play every single snap in college. He won't play every single snap with us.
I'm with you.
Like, I don't know. It just blows my mind sometimes. I feel like people are getting too nervous. Like, just relax. Let these guys do what they got to do. You know, and I don't know. I have a feeling that a lot of people, if we don't pick Ebron, I think Kashawn is right. A lot of people are going to be calling and saying, we need to do something here. And who are they going to blame when Kevin Gilbride's gone, right? Who are they going to blame now?
Yeah, because quite frankly, look at it this way. Right now, who's your big red zone target? I know Reuben Randall had 6 touchdowns last year, but those also came in a 4-5-game stretch in the middle of the season against some of the worst teams in the league. I mean, I'm not sure who your go-to red zone guy is right now.
Yeah, and I'm gonna tell you, John, I'm a little bit of an obnoxious fan when it comes down to that. I'm the guy who buys the NFL Rewind for $40 every year so he can watch play-by-play, to watch coaches film.
Right.
And you look at Reuben Randall's touchdown, they stopped when teams stopped doubling Knicks and started doubling him.
Well, I'm not sure if teams ever, you know, straight up doubled Reuben Randall, but I think it was a case where you had the safety go over the top. Exactly, right.
Right. But before, that safety was on Knicks. But once they realized Knicks wasn't doing it, and they started one-on-one in Knicks, and they kept that safety over the top, his touchdowns went away. And remember, I think three of them was in an Eagles game.
I think you make that it should be a worry that the final five or six games of Ruben Randle's season were awfully, awfully quiet. I think that's something that is, I wouldn't say a big red flag, but I think it's something you should keep an eye on.
Don't get me wrong, I think Ruben Randle, with a more simplified system, is going to be better.
I think so, too. I agree.
I think the option system was bad for him. I think it was eight of Eli Manning's 27 interceptions came on a pass to Ruben Randle that looked like complete miscues. Like, they weren't even in the same area.
About 70% of Eli's interceptions came either throwing to Randle or Knicks. He had issues with both guys.
Right. Well, anyway, thanks for taking my call, man.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Stas. Stas is going to walk the dog. The dog's like, all right, I've had enough of this phone call. Take me out, please. Got to go do my business. Now, he's out. Now that's not Washington, D.C., folks. That's West Coast Washington. So that's, 740 out there. That dog's getting impatient. I feel like we need to get a Match.com sponsorship here. I got guys with crushes on Kashawn all over Twitter. I can make something happen. I think Steve in D.C. was talking about that, too, last time, if I remember. Oh, boy, I love it. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Frank in Tampa. Frank, what's going on? How are you?
Morning, John. How are you?
I'm doing great, Frank. What's up today?
Good. Well, first, before I could, I just wanted to praise you for your interview this morning. And also, it was a fairly recent devotee of the show. And haven't just found it out of touch for a long time down here in Tampa. But so, I'm so glad I have. But I was wondering for the benefit of myself and other recent listeners.
Yeah.
I was just wondering what your background is. And if I can say, you're not just a great host and knowledgeable, but you are one of the most skilled interviewers I've ever had the pleasure to listen
Frank,
to.
Relax.
I mean that very much. I mean, I sit and listen to you, and I'm just amazed. I mean, every time I have a thought or I'm wondering about something or a question, invariably you get to it, and not only get to it, but you phrase it in a way that, is much better than the way I was even thinking about it. And I really think we have an incredible asset in you. And
I appreciate the kind words, Frank. Thank you very much.
So could you tell us just a bit about your background? Because I am interested.
I will give you a short summary of my resume. I went to school at NYU. I hosted a talk show there at NYU. I produced over at WFAN for 3 or 4 years. Produced for Steve Summers, Chris Carlin when he was there, Adam Schein. Mm-hmm. Worked with Mike and the Mad Dog a little bit. Produced Russo's show on Saturdays, and then there I came here. I did do some play-by-play for Fairleigh Dickinson for the Northeast Conference basketball college stuff. So that's kind of been my path here to the Giants, where I've picked up a lot of the work doing video here and stuff like that. So that's kind of where I've come since graduating school. Wow, more than 10 years ago. I'm old.
How long have you been with the Giants?
07.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, I'll tell you, where knowledge and skill meet, you have talent, and you do have it, and we're blessed to have you. I just had a quick
Where do I send the check, Frank? Seriously. I mean, I feel like
Hey, John, I don't say things like this lightly.
I appreciate
it. I've been down here in a wasteland forever, and I can't tell you, you really do. You have a talent, and God bless you. But
thank you.
I wanted to ask you, I think losing Booth was a mistake that we may come to regret, and only because everything that we preface, about if the O-line, and then, the questions that, we may have to, out of desperation, take an offensive lineman in the first round, and neglecting the obvious skill needs that we have. And, I think having Booth, we could have made some moves, with a little more confidence. And so I think we may rue the day that we let him go, especially if we could have gotten him at a good price. And I think he was a really good guy, too. But on top of that, when I look at things, if the, and a lot of this has been discussed, but if the offensive line, if we have enough trust in it. I mean, you know, if with a tight end like Ebron in the first, I'm wondering, who do you see? Do you see an immediate starter, which we need at wide receiver in the second round? Do you see that anywhere? Because I don't have the time to really, you know, delve into.
You know, Frank, that's a good question. I'm not sure if you're going to get a week one starter at wide receiver in round two. I think he'd be hard pressed to beat out Reuben Randall. Now, by week 9 or 10, could he surpass him if he plays well enough? I think that's a possibility. This is a very deep wide receiver draft. I think there are players that you can get around to that are starting caliber players. But whether they're week 1 starters, just based on the history here, I know the offensive system is going to be different. Maybe it'll be easier to learn based on how they do it. I still think in round 2, if you pick a wide receiver, they'd be hard-pressed to beat out Reuben Randall to start day 1. That's my thought.
Okay, if one of these days, if you do have some time, maybe you could devote a little time to who might be available there, because I do think it's a, you know, an option that we might have to definitely address, because I'm with you on the you know, the offensive talent. I just think, I mean, if we had that tight end and we had that wide receiver, then you know, and assuming the offensive line, you know, can hold up, then, you know, I think we basically got everything covered. But you know, neglecting those two positions, I think we do at our peril. And, John, when you say, like you were saying earlier about, I think we can get, you know, a starter offensive line, you know, in the third round, do you mean somebody that, you know, 2-3 years from now can start? Or if Snee can't go and that center doesn't pan out, are you talking about somebody that can step in there and play? Because it seems to me we're going to need him if this happens.
That's a good question. I mean, I think the Giants still hold out for the Brewers and Mosleys, but I'm not sure I feel super look, I think John Jerry's a guy you can throw in there, and he can be a solid starter, and he'll be a Kevin Booth type that can kind of step in and, you know, not kill you if you start him over
he
a guard.
Center,
I think he
right?
can be that guy. No, he does not play center, which is why
right.
I still think the Giants do need to add somebody at that spot at some point to back up J.D. Walton.
Any idea why is it just his age? Why they wouldn't have taken a better shot at signing Booth, or maybe they did and we don't know about it?
I think the Raiders had more money to offer him. They weren't willing to make a bigger commitment, and that's why he left.
Uh-huh. If someday you might be able to break down those wide receivers, that would be great. And once again, John, thanks for everything you do. We do appreciate it.
Thank
I know
you,
I'm
Frank.
The only one.
And I appreciate the kind words. Thanks so much. The check is in the mail. And I got everybody on Twitter kissing my butt, too. I appreciate it, guys. I'm just blessed to be able to talk to you guys on the phone. Try to be as gracious as possible. Man, I wish Lance was here for this. I need to put this down on tape. Lance would have been sitting here shaking his head, like throwing up. It would have been hilarious. I need to record that section and play it back for him next time he's on the show, just to get his reaction. I think it'd be quite amusing. All right, we got two more people on the line. And by the way, a tweet that made me laugh. Norwalk Paranormal. I don't see him tweet much to hashtag Giants chat, but wait, doesn't Ann in D.C. Still need a date? Step on it, boy. She needs someone. Boy. Love it. Love it. All right, two more calls. Let's go to Shakes in Baltimore next. Shakes, what's going on, pal?
Yeah, man. I have to agree, man. We do appreciate you, man. John,
I'm the best. I know. Thank you.
And it was kind of funny when he was going through it with you, and you can tell that you were blushing. You were giddy. You were real giddy.
Hey, I'm just here doing my job, man. That's it, Shakes. I'm happy you guys enjoy the show. That's all I can say.
That's what's up. And I wanted to say y'all trying to get my girl to Sean. She's mine now. Here in Maryland.
You guys all relax. You're going to chase Kashawn off the show here. You're going to scare the hell out of her, and you're going to send her running to the hill just like you do with all your women. So just calm down, everybody, all right?
Yeah, it's crazy. But, yeah, it's nothing more attractive than a female that knows her Giant football. Wow. Yeah, that's an A-plus woman to me. Now I wanted to jump on what I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, what do you got?
Okay, yesterday I was talking about, you know, the scenarios of trading up. Just, you know, just doing my due diligence and what you need to get up there to, like, the sixth spot. And you said, like, a second round or something like that. See, my thinking was, well, maybe if we, trade like a third or fourth or something like that, and then we can probably pick it up later in rounds, you know what I mean? Like pick up the extra pick later in rounds, like if you trade down. But now that you done told me that, you done totally changed my whole perception. So now I'm totally off that moving up in the draft, and I think that we're going to get a star at 12 anyway. And to give up a second round, that second round pick is going to be a starter. So you giving up a starter.
Right, exactly.
I'm not a big fan of that. So, yeah.
Wow, so hold on a second. I have talked Shakes off of two ledges now this offseason. Yeah. I've gotten you off trading up, and I also talked you off the Hakeem Nicks bandwagon. So I'm 2-for-2 now.
Yep, you need to pat yourself on the back.
I am right
now. I'm very stubborn, too. I'm very stubborn. It is hard to convince me on anything. But, yes, you definitely convinced me on that because I didn't know it really cost a second-round pick. That's just a little bit too much.
Yeah.
Maybe if we can trade the next second-round pick, maybe. Maybe if we got a possibility to get Watkins, then maybe. But, no. I wanted to say about Donald, though. If we drafted Donald and then we draft Nicholas in second round and third round, Martavis Bryant from Clemson,
okay,
and he the other wide receiver,
yeah,
we go that route. And then in the fourth, we go Brian Stort, Florida State center.
I would be okay. If that's where the Giants ended in this draft, I would be okay with that, I think.
You would like that? What would you grade that? Oh, and
B plus.
Fifth round, get Sam or something like that. A good defensive end.
I would put you at about a B plus with that draft.
B plus?
Yeah. But the only reason I'm not giving you better than that is because you didn't get me a defensive end pass rusher in your first four picks.
Yeah.
But you know what? Sometimes, you know, based on who's available when you pick, you can't get everything you need, and that's how the draft works from year to year. So if you can get me a play like Donald in the first round, you get me a starting tight end like Nick Lawson in round two, and then in round three you get me a wide receiver, and I think that kid out of Clemson could be a potential starter by the end of his first year in the league. I think that's a darn good draft. I would give you about a B plus, maybe an A minus if I'm feeling in a good mood that day.
My man. All right, thanks, John.
All right, Shakes, appreciate it. Final call of the show at 201-939-4513 is Montrell down in Miami. Montrell, what's up, pal?
Hey, how you doing, John? And you just stole my lineup. I was just thinking the same thing. I know I'm high. You know I was high on Ebron, but actually right now I'm starting to think about Donald, Aaron Donald from Pittsburgh.
He's a hell of a player.
The guy. I was looking at some tape on this guy. This guy is a monster. And I was just thinking about, you know, Giants football, how Giants football came all about as far as defense. We're a defensive team. We always won with physical defense. And I feel if you can grab Donald with the 12th pick and maybe Austin Seferian Jenkins from Washington in the second round, I think that'd be a damn good draft.
Yeah, the funny thing about it, everyone talks about Troy Niklas in round two. I think Austin Seferian Jenkins is just as good of a prospect. He blocked in a pro-style offense in Washington. I think he would be just as good of an option as Nicholas. He's 6'5", 262. He played in a pro system in Washington, was asked to block a lot. I think he would be a fine pick in the second round, too. And no one ever mentions him, I think, because, you know, Notre Dame kind of has a big following here in the Northeast. But don't sleep on Austin Seferian Jenkins. He is a very good tight end prospect.
Absolutely. And I just feel that'd be great. I mean, if you look at the past two Super Bowls, we didn't have a tight end like Ebron. I mean, you could have a tight end like Nicholas or Austin Seferian Jenkins and still do great, you know. But I just feel we need to go back to that defense. We need to get to the quarterback. We need the pass rush. We need strong defensive line. Because I'm telling you, if that defensive line is not strong, I mean, what good is Beeson? I mean, those linemen are going to get a hold of Beeson, and I mean, it's going to be a field day.
No, that's a good point. That's fair.
You know, people have to look at that, have to think about that also. You can score a million points, but if your defense, you know, if your defense giving up just as much, what good is you?
Yeah,
so,
you know,
I
what?
Mean,
and the thing about it, too.
We need that defense.
Yeah, and Aaron Donald fits to me, based on who the Giants have drafted before, he fits the profile. He's a guy that had great production in college. He was great on coaches' tape. Throw on top of that the fact that his physical workouts are great at the combine. You know, he puts all those things together. And he just, to me, is a guy that fits the profile, the type of player the Giants would take in the first round. Now, I don't remember the last time they took a defensive tackle in the first round of the draft. I mean, I'd have to go back a long way. Yeah. William Joseph was – oh, yeah, that's right, back in 1992. I mean, 2002, I meant. 2003, William Joseph. Thank you, Neil. I appreciate that. And obviously that one didn't work out. But you would hope that you would hope Aaron Donald would work out a little better than that.
Yeah, those guys are nowhere near what Aaron Donald is doing right now. Nowhere near.
No,
Aaron Donald
not.
Is strong. I mean, even Florida State, he did a great job against Florida. This guy's a monster on that field. I mean, and I think he's a rare player. Everybody's talking about Ebron, but I think he's a rare defensive lineman. And also, do you think he can play defensive end full time?
Yeah,
I've seen some plays where he flew off the edge, like wow.
Yeah, my man,
like a natural defensive end.
Yeah, my man, Mr. Mack on Twitter is very excited. It feels like he's changed people's minds to pick Aaron Donald. He's been, you know, talking a lot about how he thinks he can play defensive end. Now, I haven't heard that a lot from people that watch the draft. Now, he's only 6'1". He's got short arms. I think that can give him some trouble going up against some of those, you know, 6'5", 6'6", offensive tackles. I could see that being an issue for him. But, you know, he made a good point where comparing to Dwight Freeney, who was only 6'1", 270, you know, the body type's not completely different. I mean, I guess in a pinch you can put Donald outside, especially on first down. If you're really worried about stopping the run, you can do it. But to me, he is your classic and the perfect body shape for a three-technique defensive tackle that you put in that spot. He can stop the run a little bit, but he can get after the quarterback too. To me, that's the spot. I would rather leave Donald at tackle and then put Colin Jenkins out at end. That's how I would do it. But I suppose if you have to, Donald, considering his quickness, I know he was great on like the three cone drill and those agility drills at the combine. He's a guy, if you had to put him at end, you could in a pinch.
Oh, okay, that's great. That's great. And also, I just want to remind you, he was the second strongest guy at the combine, right? 35 reps of 225.
Great. Appreciate it, man.
Yes. All right, thank you.
Hey, thanks for the call, Montrell. Good as always. And by the way, this from our tech guru, Nile Shah. Giants fans, you know, you guys have been great on the phones all year long. You know, you guys do a lot to help us grow this show. So every Facebook post you put up, every tweet you put up, you know, helps us promote it. You know, you put it up on Facebook, on your Facebook page, your friends see it, maybe they listen, they post it. You know, it's like a huge spider web. It's like our version of a pyramid scheme. It starts small and it just gets bigger and bigger. And yeah, we are basically trying to fool people every morning, so I think it makes a certain amount of sense. So every tweet you put up, linking to the show, every Facebook post you put up talking about the show, you know, other Giant fans that you know hear about it, they pass the word on, the show gets bigger and bigger. And let me put it this way. The more people listen, the more we can do with the show. The longer it can be, we can turn it into a video show, we can dedicate more resources to it, and it gets better and better. So anything you guys can do out there to help out, we appreciate it. A couple things on Twitter I want to get to before I say goodbye. Mike Farmer and Ted Crum make a good point. The Giants' biggest red zone weapon next year could be Rashad Jennings, and I'll even throw in Peyton Hillis. And yes, a good running game and a good power attack, that is your best weapon in the red zone. I think that's a fair point. Good job. I can't argue with that. Patrick Kiernan, I think Cordell is still on the team, so he'll compete for the starting center job. Right now, Jim Cordell is not on the roster. The Giants have yet to bring him back, Pat. So that's something certainly to keep an eye on. And then another follow-up from my man, Norwalk Paranormal, that he points out that, you know, 2, 3, or 4 people will be required to date Ann because of her multiple personalities and different names from different calling locations. So I thought that was a good line as well. Everybody, good job on Twitter. Good job on the phones. Tomorrow morning, we'll be rejoined by Dan Salamone with his second. Oh, you're not here tomorrow, huh? He's off. You're in Vegas. Oh, man. Now I'm jealous. All right. Well, I got to figure out a guest for tomorrow. Maybe I'll try to find somebody from Texas A&M to talk about Mike Evans tomorrow then. Maybe we'll do that. When are you back from Vegas, Dan? Next week? Monday you'll be here? All right. So we'll have Dan on next week. If I would have known you weren't here on Friday, I would have put you on earlier. Oh, well. But Dan will be losing all his money in Vegas. That'll be a good time. Got to stay out of those casinos, though. NFL policy, Dan. Be careful. Only go to those Circus Soleil shows while you're down there, all right? Everybody, thanks for joining us. We'll see you on Giants.com tomorrow morning at 9:30. Have a good one.